Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Listen, I'm not here to tell you which teams to root for. Philip Rivers, an all-time great player, and by all accounts, a great person.
Philip Rivers is going to win the game. So I admit, I'm hoping for the best for Philip Rivers.
If they lose or something, it just, like, it devastates me.
There are eight quarterbacks left, and you don't have Brady in the top four.
I rest my case.
Talking heads in the media, talking about how this is the end of the dynasty.
They're going to lose. It's going to come to an end.
They're going to fall off a cliff and become a bum and all this stuff.
Tom Brady is going to be a bum in short order.
You know, I'm sure winning's sweet, but is it that little bit sweeter when you're constantly proving people wrong all the time?
I am the fire.
Caught by Edelman, wide open.
This was supposed to be a vulnerable version of the Patriots.
Michelle burst through. 40, 30, 25, 20.
What happened yesterday?
Rivers in trouble. Rivers is sacked.
They played possum on us all season.
Epic beatdown.
Is it that little bit sweeter when you're constantly proving people wrong all the time?
The New England Patriots advance to their eighth straight AFC championship game.
I just like winning.
Right now.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, a lot of dopes got dumber this weekend, but that's par for the course, is it not? And some of them are sticking with it, which is pretty amazing to me. They're not giving up on this thing.
You should respect that, though. A guy like yourself, you're that type of guy.
I think it's
you're
stupid.
That type of guy. They're dying on that line. They're not giving up. They're not giving in.
I knew they'd win.
You want to be part of the motivation, Phil,
yes.
Right?
Hey, listen,
the hype video
I'm
that they use.
We're just shocked that you are here. We thought you would call in sick today. So
These guys to win championships.
Yes.
For them to show videos of me talking trash about a bullpen before the series starts or whatever it is. Or this
duck
year.
Boats.
So whatever it takes.
Duck boats.
Yeah, that was, I'll say this. First off, we'll get into a whole bunch of comments, but the people that are actually trying to take credit away from Brady in that game, that was, because I don't really count the Jets game. You know what I mean? Do you count the Jets game?
No.
Because the Jets are just whatever. Because he looked amazing.
Well, they were
in that
on vacation.
Game. That's the best he's looked. That's the best game this team has played. Defense, offense.
All year long.
All around. Best game they played all year long.
Right.
So I didn't see it coming. I apologize.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing a team, Patriots team dominate another team like they did here yesterday.
No.
Can you?
No.
Maybe the snow game against like Tennessee?
No.
I don't know. I'm talking about
the only time they were in the game was when it was 7-7. When they came down, they made that big
blown
pass
coverage.
To Allen. Right. That was it.
Gilmore
screwed
coverage.
Up. It was the only mistake he made the whole day.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And he got burned 7-7.
Never seen a team like
and then what does New England do? Right down
stupid.
The field score again. See you later. Thanks
four times,
for coming.
Right? First four drives?
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Didn't see that one coming.
No.
Wiggy did. No, Wiggy only had him win by a couple. That's right.
You should sit there and you look at it. You should, the very first start of the game, right? The start of the game, obviously, they take the ball.
Weird, right?
And they're like, okay, let's go. And even funnier was the fact that they bring this new kicker in. Right, to just, it actually worked for him in the end, but he ends up kicking James
Devlin. To the
10-yard
line.
Ends up kicking James Devlin. Like, Devlin can't get out of the way because the ball's coming like a rocket right at him. Right, he's got like 45 yards to move.
What was this
whatever.
Kid? This kid Rose, was he kicking indoors out there?
I don't know. They got him for a strong leg. I didn't see it.
No.
But am I wrong that when that happened, like it got no play whatsoever?
Nobody talked about it.
The announcers were just like, hey, you know, and I'm like, meanwhile, they're starting off at the 15?
Yeah.
Just kick the ball off Devlin's chest.
Yeah.
They're like, that's not good. I don't like the way this
that,
is starting.
That was the sign right there. How in the hell does that happen? I can understand like a kicker trying to, like an onside kick trying to kick it at like the upline guys, right? Just have it, hopefully it'll bounce off their leg or something like that and kick back to them so they can recover it. But no, he hits Devlin way the hell down the line. I'm like, a couple of these like, wow, how the hell did Devlin not get away from that? How did he not avoid it?
The best part of all of this is people trying to figure it out because, let's face it, this is not supposed to happen. Brady has now been to 12 of these AFC championship games, right? Out of, 17 years? What is it, 75%? Think about that. 75% of his career, he's played in AFC championship games.
That's some good percentages, still.
I think you need to stop. I think you'd think of like words like remarkable, unbelievable. Terrific.
There are no words anymore. There are none.
And I will say this. I mean, obviously, big game next week. Haven't punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. But this always cracked me because the comparison started with, okay, you got to get to Joe Montana. You pass him. You lap Joe Montana. And forget about Joe Montana. Now you're like, this is a Michael Jordan type conversation. Like, who's the greatest athlete of all time? And then you're sitting there right next to Michael Jordan. If, as far as what you've accomplished, how long you've done it.
Wait a minute.
What
does LeBron think about it?
Well, LeBron's going to just... He's not finished drinking his wine.
He was able to beat Golden State. Here's when you know
Brady really has passed Michael Jordan, is when LeBron says, yeah, just me and Brady. We go through so much. That's when you start knowing that, okay, LeBron's really kind of just checked out.
You look at Sammy Baugh, and you can't forget about the great stuff that he was able to do.
I forgot about Sammy Baugh. But the most encouraging part of it all is, and we talked a lot about this the last couple weeks, what is Brady going to be in the postseason? That was the Brady we remember, right? That was the Brady. Wasn't bailing out.
That was
of course, he didn't have a lot of pressure on him.
Healthy Tom Brady.
Yes.
Healthy Tom Brady.
Yes.
And I think now, I think even Rappaport had the story about the MCL thing that maybe was affecting him. I know Giardi was like, interesting. Where'd you hear that?
Yeah.
But
I love it when those guys go at each other.
I don't think there's any question, and Patriots fans, listen to me, because it explains why your quarterback looked the way he did for 4 or 5 weeks, in my mind, right?
Yeah.
And then that Buffalo game was sort of like, okay, we're going to take the ball out of your hands, because when he did throw it, that wasn't a very good game for them. But they ran it so effectively, we're good. And then the Jets game, he felt pretty good about it. The bye week, because this was, you said it, this was the Brady from last year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that, you know, because some people always talk about, you know, Brady's last three games, he's only thrown 2 touchdowns. So he only threw 1 touchdown in this game. So what does that mean? Anything? No, he was outstanding.
See, the problem
they
is...
They run the ball from the 5. How if he wanted get, to, yeah. he could have thrown 3 or 4.
But how did they get there?
That's what I mean. He was fantastic.
See, problem with... Okay, people locally, people see the team and follow
about?
The team locally. This is part of my issues. This is why I revealed, who I really am. I am Nemo. Neo. Not Nemo. Neo.
Nemo is who you really are, to be honest.
No, because we sit here and
isn't that the guy where his father's trying to find him?
The handicapped fish. Okay, you're gonna make fun of the handicapped fish? Is that what you're going to do?
I don't know.
You want a vacation?
Let me look at the sensitivity training manual.
Yes or no?
Sensitivity, handicapped.
All of us are all guilty of it. Yeah. All of us are guilty of it. You sit there and you try to dissect things that just have no business being dissected.
I'm not guilty of anything. I got everything right.
No, you know you don't.
I nailed
because
this
you're influenced, you've been conditioned. I don't know how many other phrases to use, but you can't see straight. So you end up evaluating them differently instead of just looking at it with a clear mind. No, you're conditioned, you're influenced by this person. This person says that. Victim of the moment over
Pats
here. San Diego Chargers. It's insane. Like, you can't, if you look at it with a clear eye and you're not influenced by anybody else's opinion and you just watch it for what it is, you sit there and go, he's still the best. And you look at the situations and why they lost.
He wasn't during
the
course.
Yeah, but you know
the year,
why,
reasons,
though.
Right?
Okay,
we
you know
why.
So you got convinced.
But we didn't know.
You got convinced that there was this Cliff. And, oh, yeah, Cliff is right.
Did we know why?
Cliff Kellerman is right.
I picked him to win. What are you talking about? I picked the Patriots to win.
I would say there's too many instances of him playing great and throwing without any limitations as opposed to there was of him bailing out.
But hold on, Christian.
So you looked at the bailing out. It's like, wow, that's him. Or he just wants to make sure he plays 4 more years.
I think now it's safe to say in hindsight that that's him just putting risk-reward.
Yes,
my knee does not feel good. Like, he might have done it against Tennessee, right, in this throw.
Yes.
So then he has the bye week. Comes out Jets, Minnesota. Then down in Miami after an unbelievable first half, where he looks as good as he's looked all year, after throwing a touchdown to Gronk, hits the floor. Something happened, and he tweaked it again, because the rest of the game he protected it. And then he went to Pittsburgh, and he protected it again. And then in Buffalo, he protected it again. And so, in time, he started feeling healthier, and the bye week obviously healed him.
Yeah, but
so it was risk reward. It was like, I'm going to go down. I'm going to bail on this throw.
That's exactly
what it was. Because I don't want to take a hit because my knee ain't right.
But we've been saying that now for weeks. Nationally, they don't understand it. They don't get it.
I don't know about that, because when he said I'm 100% healthy, you asked me, do you think he's lying? And I said, yeah, I think he's lying. I don't think he is. We didn't know.
Yeah, but
wait a minute. Giardi came out with a report that everybody poo-pooed and said, he ain't hurt. Don't tell me Brady's hurt.
Yeah, but we've been talking about him bailing out on all of this to extend his career and obviously to make sure that the knee is okay. So I don't think it was a surprise. Here was the question, Lou. Question was, is the knee going to feel fine? Is he going to not bail out when we get to the postseason?
And the answer
I think we
is
got
yes.
the answer.
He's going to be fine.
Right, we got the answer. That was it.
So you can't blame injury. You can't blame age. Like, if something goes wrong
the ages,
next Sunday,
anybody
you cannot
brings...
use that as a factor. No excuses.
There won't be.
If you lose, it's because they were better than you.
It's not about, this year wasn't about age. It was about injury there for a while.
Well, there was nationally to some people. See, they're buying into the, because they're looking at the chronological age.
But even,
and they're looking at the production dropping, and they're sitting there going, it's got to be his age.
You're
right. It's had nothing to do with age.
I don't expect them to have an awful game next week. Okay, you're playing the Chiefs, although the defense looked a little bit better against Indy. So I expect them to have a good game. But if he doesn't have a great game, maybe if it's below average in his standards, maybe they lose. It's not going to be because of his age. It's going to be because he had a bad game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just one bad game.
But will,
if it happens.
Yeah, but what will the narrative be after that game?
Well, you're buying
it.
He's old.
It doesn't matter.
People were critical of him after the Super Bowl because of the strip sack. Meanwhile, he threw for 500 yards. Right?
Yeah.
So,
just doesn't matter.
No, they want him to be old. They want him to be done. And we'll let you hear some of the guys during the course of the show today, but you can hear it, right, the way they're describing it. They want him to go bye-bye. They want this team to go bye-bye. This team's not ready to go bye-bye yet. It's obvious. So what happened yesterday? Was this a phenomenal game plan by the New England Patriots on both sides of the ball? Was this, we already talked about Tom Brady and how great he was, or was this the L.A. Chargers finally hitting the wall? Having a short week in which obviously they didn't do an awful lot of prep because they came out and pretty much did exactly what they did against Baltimore. Right. They just didn't do it well. Same exact thing.
So your question is, what was this, a good performance by the Patriots or a more of a bad performance by the Chargers?
Well, them hitting the wall.
Obviously, I do believe we talked about it all last week that the travel and the fatigue was going to catch up to them. You're not really sure when.
This was
part of it, but I mean, the Patriots kind of took their soul away.
Sure did.
It kind of took all the will and took all the fight away from them right from the beginning. So to lose with a team throwing the football on you is one thing, but having the entire offense completely push you around like you weren't nothing is a whole nother level of demoralization.
See, because I do think it had more to do with Baltimore than a flight, okay? I just think it had more to do with that physicality. So when you have seven DBs playing a physical game against Baltimore, you know, you got a 195, 200-pound DB or whatever, 190-pound DB playing a physical game against Baltimore. Maybe, I don't know, you willing to put your nose back in there again for a second week? You know, if you're a 300-pound, 400-pound nose tackle, yeah, you do it every single week. But they asked these corners and safeties to stop the run for a second week in a row. And I think that's kind of tough to commit. We said it earlier in the week, Christian, you think you're going to go 6-7 DBs? You said they'll be crazy if they did. Well, they did. But I think they did out of necessity.
Well, right? I don't think they did it out of necessity. I think Belichick nailed it last Monday, and people didn't listen to him. And he repeated himself over and over and over again to the point where Greg Bedard threw the question at him when the game was over. Belichick said he slapped him. Belichick said, told us on Monday, he said, they use six in every game.
Yeah.
So they used a seventh because they lost the linebacker, Brown, so he was out of the game. But they used six against us last year. They used six in every game. And yet nobody listened to him during the course of the week. And obviously, Anthony Lynn didn't listen either.
Because
that was a mistake.
The surprise was, because we said if they do go with seven, they're going to be vulnerable and the Patriots running the football. And they were. Rob Gronkowski was an absolute beast in blocking. The offensive line was outstanding. But what I thought that the seven DBs were going to take away was James White, right? I mean, we just said, well, they got seven DBs out there. They won't shadow Lamar Jackson. They'll shadow James White and try to take him out of the passing game. Jesus.
No, my thing, it was...
They had Desmond King on him. That was awful.
The moment where I knew, well, first of all, from the very beginning, at that first year, it's like, this is done. This game is over.
Yep.
They get lucky on a blown coverage with Gilmore, but they come right back down. They score again. And then they actually punt San Diego, L.A. actually muffs the punt. They get the ball back and they score again.
Right.
So talk about just like, okay, we don't really know what's happened to us. Like the bell just rung and we've taken body blow after body blow. But in the second half, the Chargers come out and they go 3-and-out. They don't move the ball at all. Patriots get the ball back. Gronk catches that slant pass and the cornerback, Michael Davis, number 43, if you want to see a guy that already had his backpacks and his car running out in L.A.,
that is
the guy. Gronk runs a slant route, catches the ball. He tries to tackle him, Everybody else tries to tackle him, and then he has the ability. Then he's like, all right. It's almost like he was standing around hoping somebody else did his job. He wanted no part of it, even though Gronk was running away from him.
So when
they were talking about how they got their butts kicked, at that point in time, I'm surprised they actually got any points out of that whatsoever. Done and done from the very first play.
But you could tell, too, because after this game, I thought Bill wasn't a good mood in talking to the media. You know, I felt. Until Bedard asked him the question. Right. So we go back to their whole, we heard it from Brady, we'll hear from him a little bit later. They obviously were listening to or were using some of the things that were said in the media, whether it was locally or not, because, like you said, Bedard was talking about, what, the sixth or seventh, it's something that they'll never do, and it's just a joke play or a fluky defense, and they'll never run against the Patriots. So I felt Bill was answering all the questions nicely. Until Greg Bedard asked him that question, and he just slapped him down.
Bill, did you have a good feeling coming into the game that they were going to continue to play with 7-6 defensive backs? Or were you
prepared? I've been hearing it all year. They did it against us last year.
I mean, were you prepared for them to put more linebackers on the field at any point if you guys kept running the ball like you were?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I have 10 questions. I have 10 questions for Bedard. All 10 of them are, which all 22s are you watching there?
That's because GM Greg Bedard.
I think he finished that with, like, you're just looking at him in disgust.
He was shaking his head.
He's like, God. And he moved on to the next question. You know what that is? I've been hearing you all week long talk about how this is like something that they don't do.
Right. Bill, did you have a good feeling coming into the game that they were going to continue to play with 7-6 defensive backs? Or were you prepared
for it all year?
Yeah, he slapped him silly. He heard it during the week.
Oh, he heard it with us.
Yes.
We asked him on Monday.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Bedard. He heard Bedard talking about
GM
this
Bedard.
Or somebody got to him. Yeah. And
what does he work there? What team does he work for?
I just didn't have him on my three up. He was probably more in the 5-6 range.
He got some interviews this offseason, didn't he? He watched a lot of film, Greg.
But the one thing about this one with the six DBs is that Belichick said it. Six times during the course of the week. It was almost as if I can reveal this and I can say it all I want. It's not going to change Anthony Lynn's mind or Gus Bradley's mind because they're going to do it in this game.
And
we know they're going to do it.
The all 22.
Yeah.
We know they're going to do it. So I know, because Bill's not going to reveal anything and sit there and give you any insight. No. He threw it out there because he knew what he was facing Sunday at 1:00.
He did it against us last year.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, he even said it with us on, because I think we asked him about
Monday.
It. Yeah, but a lot of it has to do with like their linebacker play. You know, the best linebacker got hurt, and they were just like, "This is what we've been doing."
Yeah, they had some bad linebacker play in this game when they put the linebacker.
Even when they put him in, they're terrible. Now you know why they don't want to play him.
Yeah,
they feel they got a better chance of having a fast guy in there. At least he can get in the way. But I mean, when you look at people start comparing what they did against the Ravens as opposed to what they tried to attempt to do against the Patriots, it's a totally different look. It's a totally different offense. Tight ends, fullbacks, I mean, it just completely different.
Yep.
It wasn't going to work. So when I saw it, I was like, wow, if a team tried to pull that stuff on a team I was on, I would hope we would sit there and just go right at
them. Which baffles me because we were back here last week, and I was stunned that Baltimore never just said, oh, okay. Well, let's go. We'll get three tight ends, hand the ball to Gus Edwards, and let's do this. Power running game. They never did.
But no lead blocker. No lead blocker. It was all ride the side, you know, RPO.
Yeah.
Let's read this end. And so nobody was getting it to the second level. The Chargers the whole time was like, as soon as the ball was snapped, they were so nervous about play action. They weren't attacking the line of scrimmage. So by the time they recognized what was going on, they already had a body on them.
You know how many times we've heard people call over the years and say the Patriots, the problem they have with the Patriots defense is they don't pressure the quarterback enough.
Ooh.
Well, they dialed one up yesterday where they're looking at the numbers and they're saying, okay, they've got 5 offensive linemen and we're going to line up 6, we're going to line up 7, we're going to line up 8. At one point, they had nobody back there. What is that, a cover 0? They had nobody
at
back there.
One time
there.
They had 9 guys in the box.
And they're moving them around so everybody's getting confused. And then the next thing you see, if you go back and watch the video, is the right tackle stands up. He's got nobody to block.
Yeah.
The keys to the game is hitting Brady.
Because they're confused. They don't know who, as they're moving around, who their assignment is, right?
Yeah.
They don't know what they're supposed to do.
I know people go, some guys want to throw it. When you can dictate the tempo and you play and you call the game on your terms and every single play is 3 or 4 or 5, 7 yards, think about it. Like, you it doesn't matter what you run because you have multiple opportunities. So you get 7 yards on your first carry on the first down. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You know, third down is going to be manageable. Easy at that. You can run it. You can pass it. You can throw a screen. You can throw a slip screen. I mean, it doesn't matter.
I like the screen. They got back to the screen yesterday, and it worked.
I do think defensively that was, you know, and when you saw Claiborne activated, didn't you kind of have a feeling like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't play.
Right.
You know, because he can't keep the edge and but hey, this is a quarterback that we're going to go after. We're going to put a lot of pressure. I mean, they don't attack mobile quarterbacks. I don't even think they attack crappy quarterbacks because they feel like if he just sits in a pocket, he won't be able to put a long drive together. Eventually, he'll make a mistake. But Phillip Rivers is the guy, is like in that mold of the guy they actually need to go after in pressure. They can't let him sit in a pocket because he'll tear you apart. He doesn't move well, so don't have to worry about containing him, just keeping him in the pocket. Go get him. And they absolutely did. But they didn't necessarily have to do it with pressure, although sometimes it was beautiful.
I disagree with you. I thought he moved well when he ran over to the official and got into his face. I thought he ran effectively to the sideline to bitch to the coaching staff because they had the wrong personnel on the field.
No, defensively, it was beautiful. And I know they gave up points late. It didn't matter, but that was fun to watch. Defensively, was fun to watch.
And it wasn't, you look at the score, and the score is so deceiving because that looked like a 55-7 game, right? Something like that.
It was the first half.
Yeah. And it was the, you know, total domination.
35-7.
In possession. I mean, the Patriots had, 21 first downs, and the Chargers had only run 20 plays to that point. I mean, it was just off the charts. Now, this week will be totally different. We'll spend more time in the next few days talking about next week. It's going to be totally different. And anybody thinks that the Patriots are going to be able to do the same stuff, maybe a little bit of it offensively, because they are now, I think, do have an identity at the offensive side. They're going to run the football and open up the play action with a short passing game. But there's a lot of stuff that's got to be much different. But this was a shocker. I got to tell you, people can say whatever they want. I thought they were going to win. No, you didn't.
Well, you might have thought they were going to win.
You're hoping and wishing they were going to win.
I don't think even if you thought they were going to win.
Blowout.
They were going to do it like this.
I did not. I thought they were going to win.
Especially pressuring a quarterback. You know, Mahomes isn't Rivers.
No.
A quarterback that can't move, or they say, go get him. It's going to be like, contain him, keep him in the pocket, don't let him get outside, don't let him run. And you might get a little frustrated as a fan saying, man, last week they put so much pressure on Rivers. Why aren't they getting in Mahomes' face? It's a different game plan, won't it? The way they attack.
The narrative will change, which is fine. The other thing is that, you know, the Chargers, like, they were just content with just sending four guys. They weren't going to pressure Brady
sense. But that's what they do. That's been success. Seven back in coverage. The problem was you had Gronk and you had Dwayne Allen in, and so suddenly, guess what? You had more bodies than they did. And did Joey Bosa, was he there? Was
he
in attendance?
I did see Melvin Ingram make one good play.
You know, we bring whip.
He
was on offense. They moved him in on offense for a play.
Were inactive.
It doesn't even surprise me that they were completely negated. They ran at him. Two guys. There were so many combo blocks in this game where the tackle and the tight end were working to the second level, either to a safety down on the line of scrimmage, and sometimes they just let him go.
Boat ganger, don't bang.
They just let him go.
All right, so can we bring this up? Because we were debating this last week, and two of the three of us, the two that obviously didn't play in the National Football League and know a little bit better, said that Gronk was going to be utilized as a blocker. It made perfect sense with what they were throwing out there.
Hold on. Right. Victory lap? You're going to take a lap?
No.
I know that's in vogue now.
No.
If you get something right, you have to brag about it.
I don't think anybody can take a victory lap.
No, here's what I would like to do, though. I think we should compliment Gronk in doing this, because you talk about professional athletes, egos, and we know a little bit about professional athletes.
Yeah, for sure.
Having egos.
No.
And yet, this is a
talk show host.
This is a guy. Well, so this is a guy.
Adventures of radio.
This is a guy who has been at the top of his profession. Matter of fact, some people think skill set and you put the whole package together, maybe the greatest of all time at his position. And yet he was willing to do that for the team yesterday. I thought he was really sincere in the post game and the way he talked about his role. And I know there was a lot of talk 24 hours before. Ian Rappaport had the story about Gronk retiring. This is going to be it or whatever.
WrestleMania Mojo!
I got to give him credit. He was huge in that game yesterday and was targeted once with one catch, and it was a great catch, and he battled for another 6 or 7 yards in the process.
Impressive.
But what he did yesterday, they needed. Because you talked about rushing 4, and that's the strength of that team. They couldn't do it. They couldn't, and Gronk was a main reason why they couldn't
do it. Well, I will say this. I mean, obviously, I agree with you. I think that I thought Andrews had an unbelievable game also.
All of them did. Trent Brown was a beast.
The one thing I saw was that he's not hurt. He is not hurt. He's not suffering from any ailment. He's not in any pain. The blocks that he was making and the way his body was getting torqued and how he had to hold the block and how many times he had to fake at one defender and then come back in and go to the second level, chip the defensive end, go to the linebacker, go to the safety. He's not blocked. One time James Devlin hit him so hard on a goal line run, I wasn't even surprised. I wasn't even sure if he was going to get up. So if you want to look at whether he's hurt or not, go look at him and just isolate your eyes right on him the entire time. There's no limping. There's no grimacing. There's no walking back to the huddle with his head down. There's no limping. Nothing.
Well,
he's not involved because he's hurt or he's slow.
Okay, so then the follow-up would be, then why isn't he involved?
I kind of want to talk about it.
Well,
the pass-catching tight end that we've seen forever?
Well, I think specifically for this game, it was run-heavy play action with the backs being an emphasis based on how they dropped. And Edelman. And Dorsett. Amendola 2.0. Guys that you didn't think were going to make an impact. Guys that in the past have had a role, that third, fourth, fifth receiver. I know I said he was going to have a big game. I said 6 catches,
next
7
week.
Catches,
you got one
80
more
yards. I cannot imagine him not being a factor. Now is the time.
Maybe
I was just a week early. Maybe that's what it is.
I mean, you could see couldn't you argue that you would even more so have the exact same game plan?
Yes, with D Ford and now Justin Houston, who had not been healthy, and I thought he played well in that game.
I'm just saying,
with
that the defense, now Kansas City, I think that was one of the impressive things, other than it was an impressive game all around. Offensively, you sat there and just shook your head at what you were watching Kansas City do with all their movement pre-snap and the way that offense flowed. Mahomes was amazing. But defensively, I was like, wow, they're actually playing good defense. You know, early in that game. How much of it was the Colts? Whatever, we can debate it. But that would be the game plan. I mean, for all year long, they haven't really been able to stop the run. You got a power running game. You got, you know, an extra tackle. You got 2 extra tackles. If you want Dwayne Allen and Rob Gronkowski, you keep the ball out of Mahomes in that offense.
That's the key.
I would think that, I don't know if this is the point is, I don't know if this is the game where you need Rob Gronkowski to be a pass catcher. Do exactly what you gave me last week against that Kansas City team.
I think I'm doing the exact same thing offensively that I did this weekend. You just brought it up. You want to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. He can score in 3 or 4 plays. They score quickly. They don't have a lot of long drives. The team you played this week is the team that has the long drives. They don't. So I think you just want to keep the ball away from them, don't you?
The only thing I think, if I was looking at, okay, what did they do? What was I not happy with was, and I can understand why, was just how they ended the game. How they were, their game plan kind of changed. They were up by so many points.
Was that the longest second half you've ever experienced?
It was so long.
Oh,
my God.
It just seemed like it would never end.
It was over already. Yeah. It would not stop.
Because the game was over, and they were still playing.
It was over in the third. I'll even say this. So they do an excellent job managing their timeouts in the first half. The Patriots do. The Chargers go out there, and they can't move the ball at all. The Patriots get the ball back. They were 1 second away. Dorsett wasn't able to get out of bounds. And they didn't have any timeouts left. And so they could have gotten more points before the half.
3 more.
They could have gotten, if Dorsett was able to get out of bounds 1 second, if he had 1 extra second, he would have gotten out of bounds. They would have ran the goal line team out there. They would have kicked the field goal.
Well, he actually did go out of bounds, but they claimed that he was going backwards. Okay, he was forced backwards. He didn't go backwards.
That would have made it 38-7.
Right.
No, he did. But yeah, that's the way they called it. It would have been 38-7.
Yeah,
and you can see like that. That's probably the one thing that Brady's most irritated about is the fact that they left those points on the field.
They did.
But you're right. The first half, I mean, Sony Michel, what, 16?
105 yards.
16 for 105.
Yeah.
I mean, the second half, you had 8 carries for 24 yards.
Right. Sony
Michel. You know, whatever. They were just, They knew they were going to run the clock a little bit. Not that they didn't not throw the ball. They did.
But. Yeah, I really don't have a problem with it that they didn't, you know, finish it up or whatever. They finished it up. They finished it up in the first half. It was over. All right, we're going to get to your phone calls coming up next, so load them up at 617-779-7937. Don't tell me you saw this coming. Don't tell me that, oh, yeah, I predicted they would win by 20-some-odd. No, you didn't, all right? But let's talk about it at 617-779-7937. Last week, we did not get a lot of people who felt real comfortable about the Patriots. I think this week it's all going to change. I think people are going to jump on the bandwagon. We'll get to your phone calls coming up next. Bill Belichick will join us.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Bold predictions. You know, not the norm. My bold prediction was that the Chargers would win the AFC. I think the Chargers are going to be pretty good. 27-24 Chargers, right at that.
24-21 Patriots.
I'm going to take the Patriots 23-20. They're going to be a lot of field goals.
You guys are friends.
We're the smart ones.
It's so cute. They'll lose. They're going to lose. It's going to come to an end, and it was fun. We'll see Bill next year. That'll be it.
Hello, how are we doing?
Game-changing game for the Pats.
Wait, hold on.
Game-changing win for the Pats.
Victim of the moment.
Yeah, there's no question. It's not the victim of the moment. This is game three, Yankee Stadium.
I got to be true to myself. If I was outside this market and I was an analyst on national TV for this series, everything I would look at, I would be picking the Patriots in this series.
Courageous, Lou.
I thought you were stronger than that. The fact is that I realized that you're not. You're actually weak.
If they beat San Diego, then I'll predict them to win the Super Bowl. That's how I work.
And M&M Investments, by the way.
That's impression.
Mutt was 0 for 4 last week. I think Lou was 0 for 4 this week. Yeah. So they're batting 500 in 2 weeks.
What a team. What a team.
I think Mutt had a good week, though. So that's the way it is. You know, you're going to go back and forth.
You go back and forth. I will say this.
I nailed it this week.
And people do it every single year. And people did it again this year. We sit there and watch Wild Card Weekend, and we overvalue the Wild Card Weekend winners. And I will say this. I brought this up last week at the beginning of the week, so I'm not doing it after the fact. But in the divisional round, we overrate these teams because they beat weaker teams. Usually they're playing at home on Wild Card Weekend, right? They get shorter prep time. They're beaten up, as Lou said, and the Ravens did beat up the Chargers last week. And the bye teams are sitting at home. They're healing. The Patriots looked like they were well-rested, looked like they healed up their wounds. And on top of that, the bye teams are usually better. That's why they got a bye in the first place. But we do it every year.
Sure.
We overrate it. We watch the Wild Card Weekend, and we get excited, and everybody thinks they got a shot. And Dallas, terrible, awful. The only team that did anything out there on the road was Philadelphia. They got off, it was the
quick start.
Foles magic.
Yeah.
For a while.
Quick start.
Got the 14-0 lead.
Boy,
and then
lost at first.
Yeah. And then Jeffrey drops the ball, and there we go.
We're right to his arm.
Oh, man. What a tough way to end. That's one you don't ever forget. I don't wish that on anybody. The fact that you'd be right there and then not only have it go through your hands, but right into the arms of the other team.
So other than that game, and maybe it even includes that game, the New Orleans game, because I thought the Saints had energy. They just made mistakes, a lot of mistakes early on. But in the three other games, look at the difference of energy of the bye team versus the wild card.
Well, look at how many times you see Dallas get run through like that?
200 and how many yards?
Two guys ran for 100 yards. So, and I just think physically, they just got manhandled. You know, whether it was they're all that much better or the fact that they all had that 1 week to rest while the other team was playing in a physical, emotional playoff game. And I think in the case of the San Diego Chargers, again, you grab little corners who aren't big men or big linebackers, and for 2 weeks in a row, you ask them to come after playing a physical Baltimore Ravens team and getting dirty, stopping the run, hitting people, to ask them to do that a second week in a row. I'm not so sure those guys are committed.
They want nothing to do with it. They turn it down. They don't want to do it, especially when they're behind and they're like, this isn't going to make a difference. And you're so close to the offseason, I don't want to get hurt. But it's funny because you sit there, we rag on you for, making your bold prediction, thinking that the Chargers are going to lose. And we spend all this time, and the Patriots spend all this time talking about ignore the noise.
They didn't.
Did it seem like they ignored the noise at all?
No. Well, that's one thing that we did talk about. Guaranteed. Like, this team, Bill Belichick didn't need to convince his team that people didn't believe in him.
No, this wasn't unofficial.
No, this was turn it on.
Yeah.
I mean, nationally, Brady's right. done.
So, yeah, here's Brady, post-game.
Worst quarterback left in the playoffs. You heard that from, was it Max or somebody? You know, Stephen A. Smith had him fifth, you know, in quarterback. So you didn't have to fake this one out. These are the things that were actually said. And you're just surprised that, maybe you're not surprised that Brady actually admitted it after.
So Brady post game, right? Tracy Wolfson comes up, right? And they're going to do the whole, which is always think it's weird when he does a post game interview on the field because they're usually told not to do it.
Well, he a lot of times he did not.
Most of the time they tell you not to do interviews on the field. But okay, different set of circumstances. Tracy Wolfson grabs you off the field, and here's what happens.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know. You know, everyone thinks we suck, and you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
So there was an obvious theme during the course of the week.
You
right?
think?
Yes, there was a theme.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Two weeks of hearing about,
yeah.
Not even 2 weeks, I'd say more than that, just based on Jets don't count, Bills don't count, you know, lost big, stupid, a lot of boneheaded plays against the Steelers, this team isn't any good, a lot of people are...
Well, it's a buildup of the Chargers,
everyone
too.
Everyone thinks we suck.
True, and that was easy, so I almost feel like this was a little bit of like, you know, Red Sox doing the same thing. Before the series, yeah, because like nobody believed them, we'll prove to it, blah blah blah. So it's not that they ignore the noise because they hear everything. And
they pick what they want to use.
Yes,
it's like stats.
Pick and choose. They cherry pick everything.
Pick whatever stat I need.
Okay, how can I get angry and feel disrespected?
Yeah.
Let me cherry pick all the analysts. Let me get through all the clippings and find out something that's going to anger me.
Let's just call them the blowpen
sort of
because they blow.
And that's what happened. It worked, but I would say, and I heard you post game last night. This one was accurate. Like people, don't give me a Freddie Mitchell because that was baloney. Before they play the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, Rodney Harrison talking about Freddie Mitchell disrespecting us. This was accurate. People actually believed it, saw it, were clear minded, weren't influenced. They just no, they're not this good anymore. Forget about the fact that Brady said sucked. People are now saying, well, we never said you sucked. We never actually said that.
Right.
No, who said you sucked? Tell us who said you sucked.
They did. They did say they sucked. Well, when they said they sucked compared to the top teams in the league. So,
but they didn't even have to say
but
sucked.
Nobody used the word sucked. But I'm just that's just a post game thing, but Brady saying that, but nobody said sucked. But there was a lot of people that think they could win.
Yeah, but in their
a lot of people didn't think that the dynasty was over and this was the end of it.
But in their mind, because of the plateau they've been on, it sounded like sucks to them. Because people were downgrading them.
Yes.
And based on their performance this year, they were downgrading them. And there was some validity to that. And you look at it, this is going to be the same problem this week. I'm sorry. They're playing on the road this week in Kansas City. So I thought the offensive line was tremendous. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Kansas City, but I'll throw this one out there. They've got something to prove. They're 3-5 on the road. They play differently at home and on the road.
They've
got to build that up in that locker room right now. Because you look at that and you say, well, they're able to stop the run at home. They haven't done it in the road yet this year. Okay? They haven't done any of this stuff. You talk about the offensive line. Offensive line was phenomenal yesterday. Got help with the tight ends. But now you're going on a silent count because of the noise out there in Kansas City. Let's see how you deal with that. It's going to be a totally different set of circumstances.
Unfortunately, he's big.
Going into this week, we've been asking the question, what do they do well? You know, what's this team's identity?
Play at home.
And
they're great at home.
They're
good at
home. They're unbeatable.
Yes.
They've proven that now. 9-0 this year. On the road, different story.
The one thing
on
I was...
the road is when you see some mental mistakes, you sit there and say, this isn't quite... doesn't look right. This is not the Patriots team that we're used to. There's some mistakes, whether it's penalties or Brady at the end of a half or just not showing up. You know, that's the identity. At home, they don't lose. On the road, they look like a different team.
So they have a lot to prove because they haven't been able to do it on the road. You can look at it and say they're 5-0 against playoff teams this year. But who did they play on the road? Playoff team Chicago? Right?
No, it's still a playoff team. Okay, so they lost, but still.
But they have an identity. The identity, they've been very good at home. They were great at home yesterday. Better than we've seen them all year long. But we still have not seen them actually do it out
on
the road.
That is exactly Wednesday. Hey, nobody thinks you guys can win on the road.
Exactly.
And I will say this.
And that's accurate, by the way,
Brady spoke this morning. And he talked about a lot of different things. But the one thing that stood out to me was after the last time they played in Kansas City, when they just got smoked, when they got killed, right? After that game, they were 2-2, and that's when you heard – that's when on to Cincinnati. Brady, he alluded to a conversation, almost like a team meeting that they have. Ryan, if you have it, let me hear it now. He talked about how they had – I'm just paraphrasing, like a come-to-Jesus moment about what they need to do and how they need to prepare.
I just remember, you know, playing Cincinnati the next week after that game. You know, we had some really, you know, emotional conversations as a team, you know, about getting our minds better prepared for what we were facing. That was great for that season. That's what we needed at the time. And we turned that season around and turned into something pretty special. You know, we got a great opportunity this week. You know, anytime you get a chance to do this, again, this is so hard to do. I see the effort that the team puts in on a daily basis, and I see the effort our coaches put in. It's pretty great to see. It's pretty great to be a part of. We'll go out to Kansas City, and we'll represent everyone as best we possibly
can. That's good.
That was game four, too. That was early on in the season when they've struggled before. This is
– I know, but did you – listen, what my point to you is that when I heard that, I'm like, aren't they suffering from the same problem right now when it comes to playing on the road? I mean, he talked about, you know, getting ready, getting prepared, bringing energy.
Emotional conversations as a team.
About, yeah, so you're having this emotional conversation. So is this calling you out? Why aren't you ready? Can't you see, like, this is a tough environment? Why aren't you ready? Because they weren't ready. That's what happens when you go on the road. Every single loss on the road, other than the Miami Dolphins, which was a fluke, every other one, they weren't ready. The 14 penalties in Pittsburgh, the terrible loss, not being ready for the heat and the elements and the physicality that the Jaguars brought, not being ready to fight an 0-2 Detroit Lions team that knew you very well, not being ready to face a Tennessee Titans game after you had one of your better performances against one of the other greatest quarterbacks to ever play, the Green Bay Packers, sandwiched right before a bye week. So that is their biggest problem. It's not that they can't do it. Obviously, something's missing. Because Brady alluded to it this morning, and I'm sure that is the same exact problem. So they fixed it.
Well, is it playing there at Arrowhead, or is it a matter of – because that was a different game, a different set of circumstances, the offensive line.
New old line coach, early, whatever, but early, no, they weren't ready.
It was a mess.
But again, he's telling you what they did. They had very emotional conversations. What do you think that sounds like in a football locker room? An emotion, not in a baseball locker room, in a football locker room. What do you think that sounds like?
What are we doing?
Yeah. Calling everybody out, not being ready to play.
A lot of S-bombs.
Unless
Philip Rivers is.
Well, they've had to change it up. I mean, you look at their last four road games. They beat the Jets. Disaster in Tennessee. Beat the Jets. Fluke play in Miami and penalties up the ass in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So 1-3 in the last four.
Yeah, I think they play totally different at home of the road. And the difference is those games that we're talking about, it wasn't a big crowd issue. Certainly the Jets game wasn't a crowd. Those weren't a crowd issue. The crowd issue is going to be in Kansas City because they're going to be mainly Chiefs fans. Right, they're going to be at that game. There'll be some Patriot fans, but it'll be, you know,
to me it's
going to
be
5%.
When it comes to disrespect, they can maybe play it, and we'll see how the week goes. I'm guessing that most nationally people will be taking the Chiefs in this one. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's a few people. I saw Nate Burleson just throw the white flag up this morning on whatever that's called, Get Up Football NFL
Get
morning.
Up, yeah.
Good morning. He's like, you know, like I'm over here. Left and right, trying to find ways why they're going to lose. And he's like, eventually I just throw it up and just say, you know what, they're not going to lose.
Well, there's a point in the season where
there might be some of those people that just throw it up there and say, you know what, I'm not going to sit there and doubt this team anymore. But for the most part, they'll be able to use it again. Because I think most people will sit there and say, you know, they're going to struggle, maybe lose this game in Kansas City, but it'll be defensively.
See, Nate Burleson.
Defensively, though, you can't stop this offense. Defensively is where they get motivated.
See, Nate Burleson is a little late. See, I realized this maybe 2 weeks ago, seems like Nate. I'm just having a conversation.
But Nate,
I'm not bragging.
But Nate,
I was leaning into the Nate Burleson sound.
He sounds a lot like what people have been doing, including myself, even all last week.
There was a point in this season where I looked into the camera and I said, the Patriots, they're not going to the Super Bowl. This isn't your season.
A lot of people do.
There's so many things going on. The defense is inconsistent. Tom Brady is old. Gronk is falling apart. You guys are going to lose Josh Gordon. It's cool. It wasn't your season. You guys have a ton of games that you can look back on and high-five yourself over. It's not the case, man. This is the toughest team in the postseason. This is the strongest team. This is the scariest team. Who cares if you don't have Josh Gordon? Who cares if Gronk doesn't have a big game? These guys are unbelievable. James White had 15 catches at the running back position? Blew me away. As I'm sitting at home and I'm watching this game, I'm saying to myself, I don't see a team beating these guys. I'll see you in Atlanta, New England. Mm.
So if anybody
said, I'm good.
Yeah,
they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
If after 2 days after he said Houston was going to blow the doors off.
That's not true.
Patriots, I got to be true to myself.
At Gillette, right? That's what you're going to say. If any team can do it and go into Kansas City, obviously it's this team. But they've never figured out the Patriots over the years. You know, we keep on talking about them morphing. They're the chameleon. They can be whatever they want. They are. They're different from week to week. So everybody always relies on identity. I don't see that. You know what the identity is of Kansas City right now, don't you? Well, a gunslinger quarterback who's damn good, who can throw sidearm.
Strong running attack.
Okay.
Didn't seem like they missed Kareem Hunt at all.
Yeah, let's see how that plays out with Williams. Same. I want to see that one play out because I'm still not sold.
I mean, all that pre-snap motion you got to worry about to the point where sometimes Mahomes, after it all, you know, the fake and the jet sweep, the fake to the running back, he plants and throws to a guy that nobody's even near him.
Right.
It's like he's got like 5 yards before you see a defender. So you got defenders running left and right, not knowing where it's coming from. I mean, you talk about discipline. Now, I don't know, you know, you talk about defending Lamar Jackson a second time. You got an idea, right, of how to defend him. I don't know a second time around facing this Chiefs team, maybe. Because, you know, everybody that came in here is like, you know that Tyreek Hill is fast, but when you see it in person, you realize how fast. Does that help them defend Tyreek Hill better this time around? Knowing that, like, listen, you think you got him?
Yeah.
No. You don't.
I think it will. I think this has it. Even though they won the game, by the way, I do think that there will be a different set of just awareness, understanding of, wow, I think I got a good angle. But the last time we played him, he pulled away from
Remember
me like I was
touchdown?
In cement.
That last touchdown they had?
The first touchdown he had, it was a crossing route.
Talking about the one where they spilled beer on him.
Oh, yeah.
Where he caught
the
ball in the middle of the field, and you thought like three guys were around him. And 3 steps later, he was by everybody.
Yep.
And it's just like, we think we got him, but we didn't realize how fast it was in person. I think now they got a better idea. I don't know if it's going to play a role or help them, but they got a better idea.
All right, we're going to get to more of this game, and we'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Belichick coming up in the next hour.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
The L.A. Chargers are what we should be talking about. By the way, because, you know, this week we're going to see them. That defense dominated. Melvin Ingram, are you kidding me? What a beast performance right there. Forced fumble, fumble recovery, 2 sacks, a zillion tackles. And guess what? I got news for you. We're going to be talking about them next Monday after they whip New England. Why? Because they're going to take the decal off the helmet. They don't care who they're playing. They're the better football team. Go get them, Charge. You got old man Rivers or something? Well, I still believe in old man Rivers.
That was Rex. That was old Rexy.
Man,
at the end of the week, that Ingram, he was a beast. He was a beast.
So he was inactive.
So here's Rex this morning.
I hate picking the Patriots all the time and stuff like that, but I am absolutely sick and tired of seeing this team in the Super Bowl. I think that this kid, Pat Mahomes, is the real deal. I've never seen anything like him. So, you know what, Tom Brady? You had your time, man. You ain't winning this one. I'm doubling down on my stupid pick last week. I'm doubling down on it again this
week. You're all in, Rex.
I'm going to take the Chiefs. And come on, Bob Sutton, you can change your coverages up and let Pat Mahomes be the man.
So, wait a minute. Whoever said that Rex Ryan was not exactly like Bill Belichick, he's on to Kansas City.
Already?
He didn't want to talk about last week. I don't want to talk about the Chargers. He's on to Kansas City.
Yeah, part of me, the thing with Rex is like, you could tell it just, it's never going to go away from him. I feel like he's that guy that he'll die. He'll be on his deathbed talking about the Patriots and how, you know, and he was better than, I almost beat him when I was the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It wouldn't feel right if Rex sat there and said, you know, pulled the Nate Burleson and said, you know what? I'm done. I can't do it anymore. They're going to beat the Chiefs. Like, it's just, no, I need Rex still being Rex. That's Rex being Rex.
And even if you just...
He doesn't like the Patriots. He's sick and tired of it.
Based on their performance and their win-loss record over the last, just say, 10 years, if you pick them to lose, you're most likely probably going to be wrong. It's just based on the odds and the numbers so far.
About, well, he kind about of 80% of the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it's like you're going to be wrong.
But Rex,
so,
Lex later talked about, because, you know, Brady said everybody thinks we suck. You know, Rex kind of addressed that later on as well.
Tom's got it all wrong. Okay?
Yeah.
We don't think they stink.
Uh-huh.
We wish they stunk. Like, that's what it is. I speak for every fan of football other than the Patriot fans. Golly, we're tired of seeing you guys there, but let's recognize their greatness. It's unreal. 8 straight championship games?
Yes.
For these guys, like, it's crazy. They're the best of all time, and heck no, we should never be an underdog.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think a lot of people are focusing on this. They're just looking for some sort of inspiration. They're just looking for your motivation. No one said you sucked. Come on, you're the Patriots. You're playing at home. You're awesome at home. That is not the case. Most people said they were going to lose nationally. They weren't even. Remember that confidence ranking?
Yep.
Who he did? Oh, Rex.
I think Rex had it right. Because I mean.
He wishes people that they stunk?
Again, you're searching for, okay, the Patriots are playing the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like, all right, I don't want the Patriots to win. I don't want them to win. I wish that they would suck. I wish that they weren't in this game, but they are. So, okay, so now if I want the Chiefs. So I got to try to find every angle I can to root for the Chiefs. Maybe Greenberg will sit there and say, you know, you should root for Pat Mahomes because his dad was an okay reliever in the big leagues, or he's just a good kid. I don't know. But they're going to search for reasons to root for the Chiefs, and they're going to come up with stats and why the Chiefs are going to win. But the root of it is really has to do with them just wanting them to win because they don't want the Patriots.
You had your time, man. You ain't winning this one.
And that's kind of like what Rex was saying. It's not that we think you stink. We just wish you did.
I do think they have a dilemma, though, and that is that based on what they saw yesterday, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them. If it were a real close game yesterday, then they could look at it and say, yeah, the Patriots, they've seen their better days, and it's starting to fall apart, and Brady's a little shaky now. It's hard to do that going into this game, even though Kansas City is the favorite. Kansas City is the home team. Patriots have not been a good road team. What else can you possibly use? Because if you want to talk about coaching, and coaching may be more important in the postseason than it is in the regular season, because you come up with a good scheme in one game, the other team could have the better players, you can still win that game. Who's more likely to come up with that? Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
Thank you.
Yeah, the fact is that they're just not going away, and they're not
and everybody
going
wants
away.
Them to go away.
Other than some crazy injury that, like Carson Wentz 2 years in a row, something crazy like that, they're not going anywhere. That's just the way it is.
We wish they stunk. Like, that's what.
And then what Brady said, I don't know how many years ago, I'll be done, I'll retire when I suck. First of all, that's never going to happen because he's going to retire before he sucks, before he stinks, and before he like smells up the entire place. He will realize and say, do I want to be that guy that's hanging on for dear life and just get knocked around all day and really suck and not have any excuses to use?
Well, to me, it's still about the injury. It's an injury. That's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you saw Tom Brady maybe nursing a knee and not looking right.
Right.
And I think the last 2 weeks, you've seen a guy getting healthier.
I don't play especially on this for a long time.
Again, like some of the throws he made, I thought were outstanding.
Unbelievable.
And I know he had a clean pocket for the most of the day, but I felt like there was pressure early in this game. He delivered footballs. Where during that time when he was bailing out, he would have. You know, so I felt like he stood and threw some passes. Not that he was getting hit, but he was a step or two away from getting hit, and he still delivered passes.
See, I think and they're all jumping on it today, like Max Kellerman is doing. You know, he still doesn't throw tight windows. They were all open receivers.
Ridiculous.
Most ridiculous thing. How about this pass to Edelman in double coverage?
The idea that I'm a Brady hater is ridiculous.
To be able to squeeze that through and then Edelman was able to hold on to the football. How about the corner touchdown pass to Dorsett? Does he think that is easy to throw? There's not much space there because if you overthrow it slightly, you're out of bounds.
I'm not going to sit there trying to figure out
now.
Why Cliff tries to just excuse. It's just, first of all, we are not supposed to be playing Cliff sound.
You don't want to hear about Cliff.
We don't want to play his sound anymore. I'll take Rex all day long
because
he's just a big loudmouth dope sometimes. I'll take him. But Cliff, on the other hand, he just – all right, so for example, so no credit to Brady, right? All to Bill.
Oh, boy, he can't give credit to Brady, so he has to give it to Bill.
Because, you know, it was – and I don't – what did he compare him to, some sort of hedgehog or something like that?
The story
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Of this game was Bill Belichick. Off the bye, you give Bill Belichick a week to prepare. What you said is they were – you said they were advertising. You said the same thing. Isaiah Berlin, who was a philosopher 100 years ago, said – divided thinkers into the hedgehog and the fox. The hedgehog knows one big thing. The fox knows a lot of little things. So Anthony Lynn, a lot of these head coaches are hedgehogs. They see one way to play. This is the character of our team. The whole point about the Patriots in the postseason is even week to week in the regular season, what's the identity of their team? You know what the identity of their team is? Whatever they need to do to win that
game.
We're
out of time.
Finally figured it out. And yet, if that's the case and he was so high on Bill Belichick a week ago, why didn't he pick the Patriots to win, knowing that the coach would have a great impact on the game?
Don't even care, really.
I don't
either. Care less.
I don't either. Talking about the coach, Bill Belichick will join us coming up next, live down here in Foxborough.
The hedgehog knows one big thing. The fox knows a lot of little things.